Well, back again. Let's see, it's the 11th of January on a Sunday, about 9:33. And I've reviewed several episodes over the weekend and posted a new one on the new vein, the new series, Liberty Land, the Gun Shop of the Future. And it's a subject near and dear to my heart. Anyway, got one episode up. It's already had several downloads. We'll see how things develop. If you do a Google search on Liberty Land and podcast, we're number one. Number one returned. Hoorah. On other internet-based news, the website, Bludgeon and Skewer, is actually starting to receive some traffic, which is leaves me with mixed emotions. Great. Glad people going in and reading it. I'm not sure that it's a good thing. But hey, it couldn't be bad. If it was bad, would I want to do it? You know? You need to trust yourself to a certain grasp of in life. You know, and you make decisions and do things. Anyway, episode, I think we're going to call this episode 2 of Liberty Land. Last episode, we discussed hot rodding a Taurus Thunderbolt 357 pump action rifle, which is a mod I think is worthwhile. In the meantime, I recall that I've recently seen a film, a science fiction movie of some description, that had one of the good guys equipped with the old Winchester lever-action shotgun. You know, that Chinese Model 92 that's in such abundance around town. It's 12-gauge. It's a lever-action. It's got this big kind of roller-looking hammer on it. You know, it's not a conventional hammer, but it's effective. The guns work. And in terms of modding it, like we modded, theoretically, we modded the Taurus Thunderbolt, you would give it the same Liberty Land special treatment that the Thunderbolt got, which is, you know, cut it back to a short barrel shotgun, suppress it, do some doodads with the stock, some doodads with the lever. You know, I'd want to widen the lever out, and, you know, make it a breakdown. So it, like, rotates at the wrist of the stock, and off it comes. And there you have it, another Liberty Land special. The third Liberty Land special I wanted to talk about tonight was one of Doc Ock's little Sega 12 shotguns. Same basic concept. You know, take a stock gun, bobcat it radically. He's never put a can on one of his, and most people will tell you that suppressing a 12-gauge is a difficult proposition. This, I believe. I'm not aware of anybody who actually... I am aware. There are suppressors made in England and Europe for the trap and skeet crowd to reduce the sound of the guns because, you know, it's crowded over there. You know, they got people coming after damn ears. So, you know, in the established ranges and country estates, the new neighbors don't appreciate all the gunfire, so they've had to suppress their shotguns for field use. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, I mean, it never has come to pass here in America, but, you know, it's like Kevin over at Advanced Armament says, you know, a suppressor is just polite, you know. Why should you distract everybody with the noise and flash of your firearm while you're shooting, especially if you can, in fact, suppress it? It's just a polite thing to do, kind of an American thing to do, you know, don't want to get on a neighbor's nerves. So anyway, I think that's probably, if you were going to try and spell out what a Liberty Land special was in terms of a long gun anyway, it would be to make it into as carbine a weapon as possible, suppress it if possible, and then provide for some mechanism for speedy reloading, even if it doesn't have a magazine. I believe the Chinese Winchester feeds from underneath. I don't know, really. I know it ejects from the right side of the receiver. And their steel receivers are Chinese copies. I mean, Chinese don't make bad guns. You know, they don't make very imaginative guns, at least the ones they import here. But they're functional. You know, they're based on proven Browning designs. I could not attest as to the quality of the steel, but it appears that the machining work on most of the units I've looked at is satisfactory. It's, you know, it's acceptable. They work. And they work fairly well. I'm not saying they're cheap or inferior. I'm just saying, hey, it's Chinese. It's a sad commentary that there's not an American company turning out Browning patent infringement weapons like the Chinese are so busily doing right now. You know, you would think in a nation like this, with the vast numbers of idle CNC machines, you know, building guns should be something you could get done fairly cheaply and get it done properly, you know, especially if you concentrated on custom one-offs. I really do want to look into cartridge conversions. You know? Like, for example, I've got this little black powder 44 caliber Sheriff's model that is a Benelli Pieta made in Italy. They've been making guns like this over there for 200 years. You know, they're not rated for modern smokeless cartridges. They're built for black powder. Yeah. Philly Pieta, made in Italy. Kind of dinged up right there where the lug that locks the barrel under the gun has been repeatedly pounded in and out. But, you know, it's a 44 caliber black powder pistol. And it's a single action with a brass frame, case-hardened receiver. You know, it's got a little scene roll engraved on the cylinder, and it's an unfluted cylinder. And it's boats. Yeah, naval weapons. You know, ships of yesteryear. The big three-masted sailing vessels. Anyway, and it, you know, mechanically, it's not a bad little heater. You know, it's got a little brass front sight on it. I haven't shot it, but it sure points well. And if it points well, it shoots well. That's just a general rule of thumb in firearms. If it's an awkward pointing weapon, you probably won't hit the broadside of a barn with it. And at Liberty Lane, you'll have an opportunity to do just that, because one thing I'd like to see happen at this particular with this project, if this range ever comes to pass, is I would love to see almost a museum, NRA museum quality to it, Smithsonian museum quality to it, but a working collection. In other words, you know, you might have read up on the Battle of Gettysburg, and you really want to shoot a Spencer repeating rifle, but there are none around available, you know, unless you got $3,000-$4,000. You know, so to have the experience of firing a Spencer, especially a Spencer that had actually been gone through, and or was a reproduction and was certified as safe to shoot, you know, I think this would be a unique thing. So, I really do want the world's largest inventory of rental weapons. I mean, how big is that number going to have to be? You're going to be able to claim you've got the world's largest rental firearm battery. How many rental guns do you need? I've looked on the internet before, and I've seen upwards of 200 offered at gun shops in California and Texas. And that seems to be a huge number to me. But Liberty Land, because it's world standard, probably needs to have 1,000. Matter of fact, we ought to institute a policy that says we'll trade for any weapon if it's functional. You know, we will test fire weapons before we trade for them. But every weapon that comes in the door at Liberty Land goes in the rental battery, every gun. You know, I mean, if we can get good deals on new guns, we'll do the same damn thing with them. They've all got to be shot. And I really would like to have a better, or have a system in place so that if people want to share their opinions about the gun they just fired, there's a mechanism for them to do so. Either audio, i.e. a podcast, talking to a microphone, if you're shy, or get in front of a video camera and do a V-cast. You know, talk about this specific gun, the Glock 17. I just shot it for the first time today. Here are my impressions. Very simple format. I would generate tons of content. Content beyond content. So much content, I don't think you could actually afford to be able to make it accessible to the public. At least not for free. You'd probably have to pay like a membership fee. An online membership. Why not? Join the LP. It's all under that. If you're a Libertarian Party member, hey, you've got access to our secret database. Well, it's not a secret. We tell people about it. However, it's not available to the general public. There we go. There's a method. Maybe a cachet to add on. We'll try to remember that concept. LP data that's accessible only by the members. And extend that forward and have, obviously you need to have sections of the building that are only accessible to members. You know, if you segregate the layout, you know, there's the general public. Anybody can come in here. The red doors, you can't pass until you join the party. Well, no, that's where the really cool stuff is. You know, like the special selection and the special collection. We don't let non-members shoot our machine guns or our suppressed weapons, for example. Training, you know, I mean, Liberty Land needs to have a rolling cadre of, you know, uber ninja masters, you know, that are in town for a while and can do some training if you're willing to pay the freight for their expertise. And their expertise is extensive. and the freight is not cheap. You know, so if you want to learn from guys that are doing it, come on down. You know, it's an erratic schedule. It's that way on purpose. I really want this repetitive dojo concept. Nobody's ever done that with firearms training, you know, where you sign up for 12 courses, you know, 12 one-hour sessions over a 12-week period, a 6-week period, whatever, however you want to schedule them. And they're each 1 hour long, and they're all based on the dojo concept of repetitive motion. You know, these are classes we teach at Liberty Land to smooth up your draw. Because for an hour, you're going to practice taking that weapon out of its holster, you know, getting a proper grip, second hand on it, acquire a sight picture, pull the trigger, or not. You know, judgment. Because we've got access to some of the finest interactive video simulators in the world. We really do. I mean, Liberty Land can have a state-of-the-art FAT system in it if we can get a building squared up. State-of-the-art. You know, best of the rest. Biggest fucking theater they make. That could be a reality. Inside, in town, man. Kind of a, it's a weird feel out there that pushes place. It's a weird feel. But we got plenty of room. God damn, we got room. And it's not too expensive, and it's ultra secure. One way in, one way out. I like that part of it. Well, anyway, this has been episode 2 of Liberty Land. I'm going to call it episode 2, Liberty Land. And we talked a little bit about some guns. We talked a little bit about Liberty Land, the types of things we'd like to see there, and why it is so futuristic, because obviously such a place does not exist at the moment. And with that, I see that I've hit my magic mark of 12 minutes, so I'm going to sign off, kids, and listen for episode 3.